Easy with hundreds of holiday templates you can customize and call your own. Staples.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
At 5 o'clock in Cleveland, because we're here, the issues, the people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, the senior pastor of Sure House Baptist Church, right here in Cleveland, Ohio, 11318 Miles Avenue. We are the Church of the People. Every Sunday at 9 a.m., that's not Sunday school, that's our morning worship service. Come and experience what the Lord is doing with us. Every Sunday at 9 a.m. And also a privilege to be the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. This is an amalgamation of all the African-American clergy organizations in our great city and greater Cleveland area. And we thank God for all of our clergy and clergy leaders. And we're here today. And we are preparing. I'm here. I thank God I have my host here. She's here today. Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis, the co-host. Say hello, Dr. Jarvis. You got to say hello in the mic, not on the Facebook. Say hello in the mic.
Hello, everyone, yeah, and happy holidays.
There she go again. And then we also are privileged to have our state representative. She's my state representative, specifically State Representative Juanita Brent. All right.
Hi, everyone.
All right. We are going to be, and we are so privileged to have this beautiful queen with us here today. And I just want you to know, let's just get a couple of housekeeping things. This is our last broadcast, Dr. Jarvis, for 2019. The next three Mondays, we're going to be off experiencing the holiday with everybody else. All right. So I heard a pastor in Indiana, another pastor is taking a 6 month sabbatical.
Oh my.
We don't need 6 months; we just need 3 weeks. Yeah. All right. So we'll be back on Monday, January the 13th. We'll be right back on it again and talking about the issues that are facing our people in 2020. So God bless everyone. Happy Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we're going to talk about that. And you can call us today if you want to give us a shout-out on a Christmas shout-out or a Happy New Year shout-out. You can do that today as well as we're talking to our state representative. The telephone number is 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490, and we're also on newstalkcleveland.com, newstalkcleveland.com. You can catch us. If you're way out there and the signal, our signal doesn't go all the way, there's no crosstalking, so our signal doesn't go all the way to the west side sometimes, so you need to get us on newstalkcleveland.com, and we're here from 5 o'clock to 6:30 every day, and we are so blessed that our other young co-host has walked in. Our dear sister, what's your name? Chantae Lewis Gibson. I know your name. I'm playing with you. All right.
Hi,
I know your name because I write you a check.
Yes, you do.
All right, but we thank God for you. Chantae is here in the house. All right, and Chantae, tell everybody where they can meet us tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we'll see you at Job Seeker Tuesday at 11318 Miles Avenue. That's Cleveland 44105 11318 Miles.
And what is that address? What's the location? Put a label
Sure
on that
House
address.
Baptist Church.
All right.
And we do our Job Seeker Tuesday there.
All right.
So,
and tomorrow we're featuring the First Energy and the Power System Institute, right?
Yes, PSI, that is correct. So 6 to 8, bring yourself, bring your friends, bring your family if they need work. We're looking for some healthy guys and ladies.
Ladies can
PSI as well through First Energy.
And I was just telling everyone while you were coming in that this is our last broadcast for 2019. And then tomorrow will be our last Job Seeker Tuesday until 2020. We'll have Job Seeker Tuesday. We'll start back working the week of Monday, January the 13th. So the 14th will
and
be
that's my birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday. Sure happy birthday. I don't know.
On Facebook.
We got a whole month. See, just like
I'm
a woman.
I'm going to be
27.
You're not supposed to 27? I'm going to be 27. 27.
I didn't realize that. You really? You're that young for real?
Yeah.
The lady's never supposed to reveal her age.
Yeah,
so.
Well,
she's 27.
Yeah.
So that's a, wow, you actually could. You know, I didn't know that. I will have to talk after that, but I didn't know that you were that young. And but let's talk to our dear queen, Juanita, State Representative Juanita Brent. She is in the house. Thank you for being here, State Rep.
I'm literally in the State House and in this radio house. So I'm so grateful.
Oh,
thank
wow.
you so much. For you're Pastor Phillips.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a representative. Hey.
I know.
Oh, yeah. No, but so much she's, we know that part. But so you're able, they're able to hear you at the State House. That's what she's saying,
oh,
right?
Oh, no, no. So if you
work
are.
Here.
No, no, I don't work here. No.
No, no, no. Hold on. Let me.
I think she got
27,
yes,
I know.
Yes, Massa.
So I'm in the State House, but I'm in your house,
your
radio house.
Okay.
This is.
Leo got it.
See,
yeah,
he
Leo.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was very nice. And I tell you, this is your completion of your first year, right?
I haven't even completed my first year. I'm at month 12. I'm about to hit a year.
That's what I was thinking. Right.
So it'll be a year January 7th.
Right. And I'll tell you, we have been watching it with pride. You have really brought great integrity and accountability. Mm-hmm. I love you seeing you in out there because, you know, I'm out there with the people and you are right there on every issue. You're there before the issue gets started. You are very informative. You always are standing up for us. And I watch you do it for myself, so I'm not just making that up. And I really appreciate that.
I appreciate that, too. Mm-hmm. I know when I first even looked at running for office, I said people have to see themselves in government if they want to be engaged in the process. So
right.
you have to tell them what's going on. There's
right.
so many bills.
Right.
We're about almost close to 500 bills in the House just by itself. That's not including what's going on in the Ohio Senate. But so for people to really know and want to come out and vote, if you want people to be engaged, if you want people to say something, you have to let them know what's going on. It
right.
comes with accountability, even if it's not particularly what they want to hear. You have to let them know what's going on.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a problem that we have in our community. Nobody wants to be accountable. You know, and that's my thing. I tell my team, you know, I hold myself accountable. I hold everybody accountable, including me, and I tell her, hey, make sure I do this, that, and the other. Sure enough, she calling me, did you do this? Did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a breath of fresh air, State Representative, because
yes.
that has not always been the case. And that's one of the reasons why, but I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole, but that's one of the reasons why people don't want to vote. Because they're state representative, they're people who they elected for. You never hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's happening. But that's what's so great about you. And I will tell you, it's not just you, there's this generation of young folks who are in office, as Stephanie House just said here.
Yes.
Chantel Brown was here the other day. Our good friend, the other state representative, Mr. Upchurch. I am so proud.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing we have certainly got. We have a lot of good young leaders
mm-hmm.
who are intelligent and outgoing and engaging. And I really, it's a joy to watch you. And I know that those who came before you are smiling because it is a change from what we've had in the past.
It is definitely a change. And we realize is that instead of waiting for somebody to give us the power, we're going to give the power back to the people. And that's something that was been lost for almost a whole generation.
Right.
There were people who were fighting for it, but every time somebody fought it to give out information, they were almost sacrificed within our communities. And we're deciding we're not going to sacrifice each other for our people to know what's going on.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And there's nothing wrong with knowledge. So now I have one particular thing I want, but I want you to go first. Tell us what is something that we need to know at state legislation that we need to be a part of, that we would be aware of. you let us know what that is.
Oh, goodness. This is so much that you guys need to be a part of, no matter if it's this ridiculous religious liberties bill that just passed out of the House. People get so excited.
Now, what is that now?
Oh, I'm about to tell you, okay. Pastor.
Religious liberties.
So it sounds really like good and fun because it says liberties for religion. We all want that. But what it will actually do is use religious doctrine, no matter what religion it is, as a way instead of using scientific information. So you try to say, like, how do babies come together? You can use your own religious belief and say this is how it's been done. So also it will allow teachers to pray in schools during the school day. So right now students can pray before school starts, during lunch break, and after school, but not during school. And you just try to be respectful of those days, but a teacher will be able to practice whatever their religious beliefs.
Just put her carpet out and
yes.
pray on.
So it takes away the whole separation of church and state. Bringing church back into the schools.
I haven't heard about that. Now,
yeah.
Why do they want to do this? What's
because
the purpose
people,
of this?
There are people who are very closed-minded, and they don't realize that there are
multiple religions.
Out there. I'm so blessed to represent House District 12, where I represent people who are Jewish, people who are Muslim, Sheikh, Christian, people who do not believe in God at all. So to try to impose that, especially in the sense of a public school education, is not practical at all.
I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah,
we could talk.
That's a good one.
That's something.
Wow. So as much as people want to be able to, you know, serve their God.
And that passed? Did I hear you say that passed?
I didn't vote for it.
Oh, it passed. I thought it was just a bill.
So now it's going to go to
the Senate.
Go to the Senate.
So it's in the Senate right now. We're currently, everybody's about to go on Christmas break. So there's not.
So if it passes in the Senate, then
it goes to the governor.
Can you let us know if that passes in the Senate?
I
can't believe it passed in the House. But if that thing passes in the Senate, then we're going to go down to the governor and say, man, are you kidding me?
I feel like that's
are you kidding me? That is
stirring the pot.
Yeah, that's
stirring the pot. And I'll just say for me, I did go to a religious school growing up. And so it was a choice that my family made to send me to a religious school to learn about the religion of my own personal choice. But if that's not what you want, and you send your child to a public school, no, you should not be forced
to. since you made that personal, because I was just thinking about that, not a state representative, because I asked you about your church, and you told me last time, and I'll remember from now on, Williams Temple Church of God in Christ.
Yes.
And I grew up Baptist. So when your representation is beyond Williams Temple.
Yes.
But now, if you're talking about Williams Temple, there's a whole other set of rules, right?
There was a time that
Baptists and Kojic folks wouldn't even associate themselves with each other. So, I mean, but that has since gone. That was a long time, but I'm that old, okay? But what I'm telling you is, but we can't impose what we believe on everybody else.
I agree.
Jesus doesn't even do that.
No.
He says you can make a choice.
Figure it out. Yeah.
I don't know anybody to love me. If you're gonna love me, I want it to be your
genuine
choice.
Yeah.
And that's the way Jesus is. So we're not even talking. I can't even believe
we could go on and on.
All right. Well, let me tell you about. We're almost out of time. We may have to come back to this. But I don't know if you heard about this one, Dr. Jarvis. One of our pastors brought this up to me, and you mentioned it, that there is a bill being proposed to lower felonies and make them misdemeanors, which will have a great impact on our community.
Yes, and so that's Senate Bill 3. I was excited about Senate Bill 3 until recently, but that is a bill because there's so many people who are doing hard jail time for nonviolent crimes. We need our people out here working. Mm-hmm. We need our family members out there taking care of their children who are paying taxes.
Right.
And we lose all of that from our community when they are incarcerated.
Right. So now who sponsored that? So that's Senate bill. So that's not
It's not in the House. It's sponsored by Senator O'Brien. It's another colleague too. It's a bipartisan bill. But we are definitely going to talk about this. I know we're about to go on a commercial break, but it definitely needs to be talked about because criminal justice reform is a key issue right now that we don't just need to take care of on a state level, but also on a federal level, especially when we talk about these presidential candidates.
Absolutely.
So this is just a hot button ticket, but we have to do it the right way to make sure that people really benefit from it.
You know, that is fantastic that you are that there are real changes happening, and she's impacting that right in her first year. Great job, State Representative. Listen, you're listening to The Issues, the people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Phillips, and Dr. Jarvis being quiet over there. Get us out of here.
Thanks for tuning in to Cleveland Clergy Coalition. I don't know why them three C's always get next to me. However, this is News Talk Cleveland 1490 WEREAM, the People Station. You can listen to us and the website at www.newstalkcleveland.com in your time zone. Our time zone is 5 o'clock at this time. You can also get us on the app at the News Talk app and on Alexa.
All right.
Stay tuned in.
We'll hear from you, us on the other side of this break.
For our troops and their families, the military is more than a career. It's a journey. And every step along the way, the USO is there.
It's an experience that soldier will never forget. That's what the USO does.
Be a part of their journey. Donate today at USO.org.
Everything you need to know about Cleveland sports, news, weather, and more is at NewsTalkCleveland.com. For instant updates, follow us on Facebook at NewsTalk1490 and on Twitter at NewsTalk1490.
Picture a door. On it, a sign that says, "Do not look." Every instinct says danger, but still you peek. Inside, a room full of cockroaches, which can trigger asthma attacks. Rodents that contaminate food and transmit disease, and termites which cause billions in property damage each year. Trust your instincts, know the signs. Learn how to protect your family and home at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Dominion Energy Ohio at 1201 East 55th Street in Cleveland says, in this world of unrest, let's join hands and join in the Toys for Joy campaign to show children that love still makes the world go round. That message was brought to you with pride by Dominion Energy Ohio, a company that is dedicated to the quality of life in the communities where their customers and employees live. That's Dominion Energy Ohio in Cleveland. Visit DominionEnergy.com for programs and services. They're on the air because they care.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 30 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
I've been a disruptor all my life, and I started this podcast to challenge conventional thinking and stereotypes around the black community and black men. Not all black men are rappers, not all black men are athletes, and most black men are not thugs. If you believe we can change the narrative, if you believe we can change our communities, if you believe we can change the outcomes, then we can change the world. I'm Rob Richardson. Welcome to Disruption Now.
You can find Disruption Now anywhere you listen to podcasts or by going to disruptionnow.com.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Back, I'm Pastor Darren Phillips, your host, the senior pastor of Sure House Baptist Church, located on 11318 Miles Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio. We have our worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. That's not Sunday school. That's our worship service. Somebody's calling me. I'm sorry, Facebook family. They must not know I'm on the radio. I think you are our state rep for Cleveland. Ward 2, right?
No, I'm not. That's uh-uh. So
you're not Ward 2, isn't
it? I'm not Ward 2. No, so Ward 2 is actually split up into two different House districts for between State Representative House and State Representative Janine Boyd.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So well, I have all of Cleveland Ward 1.
Yes, well, I thought I knew that, so mm-hmm. I just automatically. Mm-hmm. Who knows how they draw those lines?
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, well, let's get back to you. Thank you, Dr. Jarvis. And that's isn't that crazy? Let's tell us something. Do you want to give some more information about Senate Bill 3? Or
so another big thing that's going on is criminal justice reform. There are two big bills that are going on in the Senate and the House. One is Senate Bill 3. The other one is Senate Bill 1. I actually co-sponsor, it's Senate Bill 3 and House Bill 1. Senate Bill 3 has gone through about 7 different Senate hearings right now, and House Bill 1 actually got voted out of the House and actually in the Senate. So we have two bills that are focusing on criminal justice reform. Just real quick, you're probably saying, what's the difference between one and the other? Senate Bill 3, responses to Issue 1. Remember when Issue 1 was on the ballot to deal with charges, to make charges that were felonies into misdemeanors.
So let's slow down just a moment because we have a lot of folks on Facebook who listen to us and they don't know what we're talking about.
Yes.
So this is very local politics, but it was that 2018?
Yes,
it was 2018. There was an initiative passed statewide that would mandate criminal justice reform,
yes.
And we'll have people felonies become misdemeanors just by because the people wanted it to go that way, mm-hmm. and mandating treatment over incarceration,
yes.
And that was very controversial and all of that, and it did not pass.
No,
but it had a lot of support, even though it didn't pass, and it was a close thing. And
yes, it was very close.
There were people,
every vote matters.
Yeah, and I don't know how folks, some people I talked to said it was good. The other people I talked to said it was bad. And they were both working on criminal justice reform.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very controversial. But it was one thing that was definitely true is that we actually took some steps to say the people want to have criminal justice reform.
Yes.
So we knew that was a key issue. And that's really what by the way, is what's bothering me about. There's a lot of things bothering me.
It's
but that's
so
one of the things that.
A lot of things bothering me.
Bothering me about this election cycle. Mm-hmm. We're talking about everything else but issues that relate to us.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear a candidate talk about criminal justice reform. Mm-hmm. I hear them talking about health care and all this other stuff.
But people have to demand it.
Yeah.
When people look at what's coming to their areas, the loudest voice is what gets amplified mm-hmm. within the State House.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when Issue 1 came to the ballot, that became the loudest voice. No different than how medical marijuana got legalized within our state because it became an issue ballot mm-hmm. initiative first,
yeah,
and
it failed. Mm-hmm. It sure did.
And then it came back.
That
it
is
came
true.
Back.
It did.
So there's power in numbers, and us
That's
legislators have to listen when there's statewide ballots, and we have to address those issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good point.
Yes.
Thank you for that lesson. That's a good lesson.
Yes.
All right, so House Bill 1 and Senate Bill 3 are responses to the legislation.
Yes.
That's what we're saying to everyone, and that's a good thing. So we're still working. I was wondering, Dr. Jarvis, how do they start talking about criminal justice
yes.
reform? And that's a good thing because it's out of control.
Yes, it's definitely out of control.
But not just in Ohio. I feel like on a federal level, other
mm-hmm.
states, Pennsylvania, you had that big McMill thing where they had,
right.
where now we have, I don't know if it's that state or federal, but there's a, they're reforming.
You're
they're
right,
in the
right.
process of reforming. So.
Oh, they got the billionaire people. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The billionaire people are talking about criminal justice
yes.
reform
that,
because Meek Mill brought attention to that.
Yes.
I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Horrible.
Yes.
Yes.
Didn't even.
And
that
if that could happen.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that's par for the course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was something, as a former prosecutor, that was something that was just normal. We would always have people in, they would have a special docket for people who violated probation.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I had a whole nother docket for that.
And for those who don't know who Meek Mill is,
it's
somebody's grandma or auntie or even a millennial who's like, who Meek Mill?
Mm-hmm.
You remember, this is a rapper.
Right.
He had some charges. He had been, did nothing for 10 years, and then he rode
a motorbike,
an ATV. He was an ATV,
mm-hmm.
and he was in the middle of the street, and the police caught him.
Yep.
because it's illegal to ride a motorbike in the street. Mm-hmm. And he popped a willy mm-hmm. and he violated his probation after 10 years of not doing anything. Imagine just something as simple as a traffic violation. Mm-hmm. And now
So what happened, and he was actually wrong. Mm-hmm. He was a probation violator. That's why I'm telling you about this. He was a probation violator, but they wasn't looking for him. Mm-hmm. You know, they just put a warrant out for your arrest, and whenever they figure, we'll catch you when we'll catch you. And so because he was doing that, they ran his name, mm-hmm. just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. And then they found out. But the horrible thing was, okay, just let me pay this fine, mm-hmm. whatever it is, because we know
she sent him to jail for 2 years.
Yeah.
He would still be sitting there if they didn't get him out.
He was in jail longer for the probation violation than the underlying crime.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
true.
That's what it was ridiculous. So, but that's par for the course. That's why we need criminal
reform.
Justice reform.
It takes
someone who was kind of famous to bring attention to these things. Mm-hmm. And it's good to know that our state is working on that. That's good to know.
We're working on it, but let's see how successful we are going to be about getting this done. So that goes back to Senate Bill 3. There's been a lot of progress, 7 Senate hearings. Normally for most bills, you might get 4 max.
Okay.
This has gotten 7, pushing 8 and going into the new year. So what's so different with this is that it's a response to issue 1, like we said before, and that this reclassifies low-level drug-related felonies into misdemeanors, which is life-changing because a felony can give you those collateral sanctions determining where you can live, where you can work, what you can do with your life, where you can move because a lot of times you're still on probation. Mm-hmm. So giving people a misdemeanor instead of a felony is just life-changing by itself, too. Also,
yes, it is.
It's also to steer people into drug treatment programs. And also it deals with the increasing number of possession amounts before a person can be charged with the drug trafficking. So before you could just have like a certain amount of drugs and then they were like, oh, this is automatically drug trafficking. But now it would say like it would have to have so many times before you're considered as trafficking or moving, mm-hmm. pushing weight. For
but,
y'all young people.
Originally, it would just be, it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Yeah. So now you have to keep doing it to be able to get that charge, that felony.
Because how do we know this is not just a one-time deal and somebody just told you to go drop something off, mm-hmm. and you got considered as drug trafficking? It just might have been a one-time deal, but trafficking means you're doing it multiple times. Mm-hmm. This is your regular.
And then,
that was already a high.
There's drug trafficking and there's drug trafficking, you know. You can be trafficking on a very low scale, mm-hmm. but you're not really impacting anything. I don't think that's what the people were really intending to get all these young fellas who, you know, are selling rocks on them. Mm-hmm. You're talking about trafficking. I think of trafficking. I'm thinking about the people who bring it in.
Texas.
Who bring it in.
Who bring it in.
You know,
on a plane.
Yeah.
What
about that? Can you stop those people before it even gets to the corner? Mm-hmm. It comes in on a boat or a plane or something. You know, nobody's growing cocaine in their backyard.
It's a lot of drugs that are coming over via planes. Mm-hmm. So people are talking about these low-level crimes that are coming via, you know, physically on their bodies or in their cars. There's a lot of women who get caught up with drug trafficking because they're in relationships and they're pushed into doing these type of activities.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised on how many women are catching cases for this, too.
Wow.
So this is not just something we see with men, but also increasingly with women, too.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have thought that. That's a good point.
Yes.
Good point. That's why we got to...
And they go a long time.
Yeah, it can really be a very...
That's what's scary is how it just holds so much time. You just go away.
Well, and I think one of the... I was listening to someone. We was talking about this earlier today. One of the problems is we have to have good role models. And when you have good role models, and what's been happening, our community, our role models have changed. And so people who are now... we ought to just say the obvious. Jay-Z's a billionaire. He is a billionaire.
He's my brother, by the way.
And he started off drug trafficking. And he even tells you that. Mm-hmm. You know, so our heroes, you know, so some people think, well, my way to success is the same way of Jay-Z. But,
that is not the pathway.
Mm-hmm. The exception, mm-hmm. not the rule. Mm-hmm. So we got to, you know, kind of try to educate. That's why we're here every Monday, mm-hmm. and we're out in the streets every day, in church every Sunday, to make sure we are giving proper information to young people, mm-hmm. about what's really happening. That is, you know.
And that you can't be the exception anymore.
That's right.
You can't be Jay-Z anymore.
That's right.
Times have changed. It's far more easier to get in trouble for what Jay-Z was doing
right.
in the late 80s, early 90s. than it is right now.
Right.
Is not able to
Barack
do
Obama said, and then he was talking, we gotta put something in these young people because everybody's not gonna be LeBron James and Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
It's in one of Lil Wayne's songs, by the way. Yeah,
be
I listened to Lil Wayne. It was in his song. I got it on my playlist.
Hey,
and it costs money to have these lawyers. It costs money to when you go to court. It costs money while you're incarcerated to put money on your books, to make phone calls. All of that costs money. It's a big, it's a business within
itself.
It's
a huge industry.
To incarcerate
industry.
People.
Yep. All right, we're going to come back. You can stay, right?
I can stay.
All right, we're going to come back with our state representative, Juanita Brent. She knows exactly what she's talking about. It's good to have you in the struggle. Thank you for being here with us. We are at war, and we're playing offense, not defense. And we're thanking you for listening every Monday. Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here.
Thanks for staying tuned in to the Cleveland Clergy Coalition about the people, the issues, and the community. And hello, Pam. How are you? This is News Talk Cleveland 1490 WERE-AM, the People Station of Cleveland. You can listen to us on the website at newstalkcleveland.com and the news app 24 hours, 7 days a week, along with Alexa. I'm ready to win.
Wait, hold up, Uncle Earl. Is that you? You driving a snowplow now?
Oh, nephew, you know I gotta keep these streets clean. All these people around here driving these hunks of junk, they all need North Coast Auto Mall. And look at you. Look at them tires. Balded in my head.
I hear you, Unc. You've been telling me about North Coast Auto Mall for a while now. I'm just trying to get through these holidays.
I hope you don't think you're gonna make it all winter driving that sled. With North Coast Auto Mall, you can switch it up for just 99 cents down. And they're Ohio's largest independent used car dealership group. So the selection is no problem. Maybe you should try and get you one of them four-wheel drive things. So you won't need me in this snowplow. All you got to do is call 1-800-NEXT-CAR.
I know, Unc. I'm going to quit putting it off. I'm going to head there this week.
Just remember, nephew, North Coast Auto Mall has three locations. On Broadway, on the Bedford Auto Mile, in Parma, on Brook Park and Pearl, and right there in Akron, across from Chapel Hill Mall. Remember, it's 1-800-NEXT-CAR. I'm going to see you later, nephew.
For example, amount of finance equals $9,000. APR rate 24.9. 48 monthly payments of $297.01 cents upon approved credit.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
This is Reverend Shopton, and on the last Keeping It Real with Reverend Al Shopton,
Chuck Schumer is winding down a press conference. He has asked for four witnesses to testify, including in the Senate trial, if the president is impeached as expected on Wednesday. He wants to be able to call former National Security Advisor John Bolton. He wants to be able to call Mike Mulvaney, who is the chief of staff. And he's saying that they did not testify in the House Judiciary or Intelligence Committees or move toward investigating whether they were impeachable act. They've not been heard from, and they have the most direct information on what the president did or did not do. The Republicans say there's not enough evidence. He said this is the way to get the evidence.
So keep it real daily with me, Al Shopton.
Keep it real.
Hey. It's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
As surprise medical bills bankrupt Americans, Rob Portman demands insurance companies pay their fair share and opposing the rate-setting proposal to cover less of your medical care. Tell Rob Portman thank you and keep fighting.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
It's Pastor Aaron Phillips. I'm back. We're back on the issues of people in the community. I'm here with our state representative, Juanita Brent, and to thank God for our co-host, Dr. Jarvis is here, and we have in the house Shantae Lewis Gibson.
All right, everybody. Dr. Jarvis.
All right. Let's tell us some more about Senate Bill 3, and then Dr. Jarvis, you can ask her a question.
So for months, we've been so excited about Senate Bill 3. I was excited. Everyone in the community was excited. And then last week, three bombs were dropped on the entire state of Ohio. And now I feel like everybody's pedaling backwards to try to say they don't even want to touch Senate Bill 3. There was three amendments. One of it is going to toughen penalties for people convicted of drug trafficking within 1,000 feet of a drug treatment center. Within urban neighborhoods, everything's within a close proximity. That's a community when you talk about 1,000 feet. The other amendment is that it does not require police and prosecutors to prove someone realized they were near a treatment center when they were selling drugs. That goes completely against the intent. And then the third amendment, it will affect communities of color more than rural and suburban areas. And somebody said, like, why are you bringing up communities of color? Because we're more likely to live in urban communities mm-hmm. than other parts of the nation. So when you talk about drug treatment centers, we're likely to have a drug treatment center. We have quite a few of them right here in Cleveland. And there mm-hmm. probably could be, you're more likely to have them within 1,000 feet of your community mm-hmm. compared to if you lived in a rural or suburban neighborhood. So those are just barriers that you just cannot avoid. It's already enough you're doing selling drugs, which we already know is wrong, mm-hmm. but you should not be double penalized because it's within 1,000 feet. Mm-hmm. I do understand the intent of it because they don't want to encourage people who are in drug treatment centers to relapse, but at the same time, we don't encourage this by doing this at the same by time either.
That, well, so, now everybody knows if you're doing this business and community rehab business that you're going to go through like 6 relapses before you really recover.
Yes.
Everybody knows that. So that has nothing to do with the drug man was around the corner. If you are
he's
a drug addict, you are a drug addict, you the guy doesn't have to be around the corner. You're going to find him.
Yes.
You're going to find him. You're going to find
go ahead. I'm sorry, doctor. And the biggest thing, as much as people are trying to say they were here for criminal justice reform, putting amendments like this that target people who sell drugs near drug treatment centers, they really don't want drug criminal justice reform at all. Mm-hmm. They want to kill this bill in committee because it's going to force our senators to have to vote no. Mm-hmm. And if it dies in the Senate after almost 11 months, because this came out in the earlier part of the year, so almost after 11 months, and all these committee hearings and all this support from our community, the ACLU, people are not going to want to touch it. They're not going to support it, and they're going to tell people to vote no. Mm-hmm. So where are we at? Square one. Mm-hmm. Well, but there's hope. Okay. And I'm going to talk about House Bill 1, but I'm going to let the good doctor talk.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well,
I have
a question. I have a comment. I own a sober house for men. So that means that if these people get caught selling drugs around a transitional or sober housing, they could be arrested. But most of them are not identified. You don't even know that it is a sobriety house
at all
or a transitional mm-hmm. house. So how are they going to identify that? Is that in
that's
the bill?
That's the trap.
And that's
what she said. They don't. The prosecutors don't have to identify it.
Yes.
I think now that in and of itself scares me because who's determining where the drug treatment center is?
Exactly.
And then they can't even say, they said, man, it wasn't no drug treatment center. They said, well, we said it was there. And you know that could mm-hmm. that's just bad law.
Exactly, mm-hmm.
that has nothing to do with anything. That's just bad law.
Other pieces of the system.
But that's why we have you there to fight those battles, and we appreciate that you. That's why I voted for you, so you can go fight those battles because that's too much in the in it for me. Too much in the weeds for me. Mm-hmm. But I can understand it. But that's why you got to be. You got to have people who understand those words. You got to. We dispatch people mm-hmm. to fight that battle for us. And thank you for standing up and. We're keeping you in our prayers. And at any time, If you need support of something, just call us. You know, we know how to gather mm-hmm. people.
Oh, well, please. I'm going to definitely lift it up to the saints. I'm on the ballot. In 2020.
Yeah, oh, you okay. are?
Back
all
on right. the
ballot? Yeah, every two years.
Every 2 years.
Every state
right.
rep in the state of Ohio is back on the ballot unless okay. you're termed out. Okay. So, I mean, I'm going to need the saints to keep me lifted in
oh,
prayer.
Oh, yeah. Now, okay. is there a filing deadline?
It is on Thursday, December the 18th.
Okay. So,
it's
has
not
anybody.
Thursday, excuse me, Wednesday.
Wednesday, this coming Wednesday.
Mm-hmm, Wednesday.
This, so 2 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
And has anybody else filed in your race?
Yes.
What? I was getting ready to start shouting, who is that uncircumcised Philistine?
Nobody worth mentioning.
We're not going to talk.
She just said we're going to lift it up to the saints, so we're going to leave it at that.
I wish y'all would let me say what I'm saying. I called the name. Uncircumcised Philistine.
I know what I'm
talking about.
I like that.
I'm with state rep. She's here. I can't believe anybody could do that.
I'll tell you. I'm going to use that.
You should.
Somebody told me, they was like, Juanita, you make this state rep thing look too easy so people feel like they can just run. And mm-hmm. I said, the democracy belongs to all people. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that people should run for office, no matter if that, how you feel about a mm-hmm. person that's in office. So no one's exempt from somebody challenging them in office. And that's the problem. People feel like they have such an ownership that if they're there, shouldn't nobody run against them? No.
Yeah.
This is the people's seat. Mm-hmm. I don't own this seat. So every year, every 2 years, I have to go before the people and tell and ask them, can I represent them again? So no, this is for the people.
I agree with that, but nobody needs to be running against you.
I appreciate your support, Pastor.
Right,
and I'm with you. So we certainly are supporting you unashamedly. You're doing a fantastic job.
I appreciate
and,
that.
And we need to keep you there, and we need to keep you engaged in what's happening in our community. So please, we still have people in our congregation who live in your district, so you can come to the church. You have open invitation. We have service at 9 o'clock every Sunday. You don't even have to call me. Just show up. Mm-hmm. You got to do
it,
all right?
I appreciate it.
Just come on, and we'll just, I'll stop with it, unless I'm not. If I'm in my middle of my preaching, and my leg is shaking, that means it's time to shout now. If I'm in doing that, I'm not going to stop.
No.
But if anything else outside of that, we will gladly support you. You're doing a fantastic job. Chante, you want to ask a question from a young person, a young adult's perspective?
At 27.
At 27, yes. I'm representing the 20s. Our folks in the 20s. No.
You started it.
What question do I have? I did. I don't have a question right now.
Nothing's really off limits, so you don't have to think like, is it politically correct to ask? Just.
I'm going to have to get back with you on that.
Well, I'll tell somebody, people always ask, what is a state rep? There's two things. We make laws that affect everybody in the state of Ohio, and mm-hmm. we also bring money from the state house to your local community. We give money for your streets, your roads, mm-hmm. your bridges, for your libraries, your schools, your universities, your museums, any type of big entity, particularly our nonprofits, we give money towards. Right now, we are working on our capital budget. So when it talks about places like the Harvard Community Service Center, where I have my beginnings, 18240 Harvard Avenue, or like there should be getting some capital dollars too. So
Harvard Community Center is fun.
Yeah, they need the money. They're out here doing God's work.
Absolutely.
They're taking care of our seniors, our babies,
yes.
are working with our moms. Mm-hmm. And that's where our state
Amen.
Needs to really just take care of when it comes to our money is taking care of our people mm-hmm. more
Amen.
Than anything else. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're currently working on as a state house, is the capital budget.
Sister Goldstein is just a jewel of a person.
She
runs the Harvard Community Center, mm-hmm. and I just love her.
Yes.
And she does a great job in that. Those in our community, and we need more of that kind of thing happening. I wish every community had the kind of center like we have.
That was my beginning.
Ward 1, and
yes.
where you're representative is the leading voting ward in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And I really appreciate the folks there.
I want to say it's the largest.
It's
I don't know if it's the largest ward. It's the leading, but it's the most voter turnout. And Ward 1, the way that Ward 1 goes, Ward 2 goes that way. So it ends up getting those that whole region
and
together.
And they used to be Ward 1 and Ward 2 used to be one big area. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but because...
So there's probably exchange of people, cousins and things. And it's a, and that's where the church is in Ward 2. And, but I consider, I tell people, my councilmen are Kevin Bishop and Joe Jones.
Yes.
So I support them both. Mm-hmm. And they're very good. I love them. Mm-hmm. And we have some talking to do.
We got some talking to do. We still have
But they're my felt. But we got some talking to do. Yes. All right. But I appreciate that. I was gonna think that you would have asked Shante. You know, and a lot of your generation is on this because of the opioid crisis. Does the state have anything to do with the lawsuit money that? Is being given.
That's being worked on too. There's a lot of things when you talk about the opioid crisis. Because of that, there's been more of a concern when it comes to our foster care in particular.
Okay.
So, interesting enough, there is a foster care tour that's going to be going on within the state of Ohio. And one of the things that I saw that I was very initially upset about, but now I'm not so upset, there were going to be a foster care tour to 7 different cities except for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at where all the foster care children are, for the most part, 45% of them are in Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati.
Okay, wait a minute. We got to pick up from right there. The time goes by so fast, and especially when someone is telling you great information. You listen to the issues of people in the community. We'll be back. You can give us a call, 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490. When we come back, we're going to take some time to talk about Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, what you got to do, what you're doing for the holidays. But thank you for being right here. Our state rep can stay, and we're gonna maximize this opportunity for her. Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here.
Okay, it's about time for a little break so we can pay those bills. This is the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. We have the outstanding Juanita Brett here, and she's talking about a couple of issues that we need to be concerned about. She's bright, she is articulate, and you know what? The number one thing is she is a child of God, because when you hear her conversation, she keeps talks about the saints. So stay tuned in to the News Talk Cleveland 1490 WERE, the People Station of Cleveland, and you can pick us up on Alexa.
NewsTalkCleveland.com.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Tune in to the Rock Capital's number one AM radio show, baby.
Music for your ears with Angelica and Kent, AM 1490.
Broadcasting live every Wednesday from 8 to 9, straight out of Radio 1 Studios.
Get us on your mobile app, tunein.com, 1490, or streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com. If you want to party with two hippies, just Google Angelica and Kent.
Marie, is that you?
Oh, hi, Barb. How you doing?
Better now. Did you know we had a little health scare with Jeff?
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, he had been short of breath and was really tired a lot of the time. He just thought he was getting old and was out of shape, but it turns out it was heart valve disease.
How did you figure it out?
He finally went to the doctor, and she was able to listen to his heart and detected the problem. I didn't realize it, but heart valve disease is more common than you'd think. They were able to replace the valve, and he's feeling so much better now.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
More than 5 million Americans are diagnosed with heart valve disease every year, but most people know nothing about the condition, and it can be deadly if untreated. That's why it's important to listen to your heart and ask your doctor if your symptoms may be due to heart valve disease or if you're at high risk. A message brought to you by Heart Valve Voice US. For more information about the symptoms and treatments for valve disease, go to heartvalvevoice-us.org.
1490 WERE Traffic.
Good evening. This traffic update sponsored by Sylvania Automotive. As we take a final look at the roadways for your drive home this evening, if you're going northbound 71, you'll find an accident blocking the right two lanes just before you get to 480, giving you about a 10-minute delay. And in Akron, if you're headed eastbound 76, you'll find another accident at Market Street. The stop-and-go traffic is going back to Inman Road with about a 6-minute delay. In Akron, if you're going westbound 76, you'll find an accident blocking the left lane before you get to Gilchrist Road. The traffic is stopped up to Talmadge with about a 12-minute delay. Can't remember the last time you replaced your headlight bulbs? Well, now is the time. Visit HeadlightSavingsTime.com to find your perfect pair and get ready for the darkest nights of the year. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WEREAM, the People Station.
We're back. The issues of people in the community. Let's take a pause for a couple of announcements. On January 17th, all roads lead to Greater Abyssinia Baptist Church for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference annual Martin Luther King Gala under the chairmanship of my mentor, my leader, Reverend Dr. E.T. Cavanis. And we will be there. We have a lot of folks that are going to be honored. One of those is Mark Jones from First Energy. We're going to be honoring him. One of them is Helen Forbes, who's a lawyer and doing a great job with United Way now. And there's a heap of others. And we want to make sure that you get your ticket, be there, and we'll be sending information out. We need you to be there. That's going to be our annual gala. We only do this once a year on Martin Luther King holiday. What we've added under Dr. Cavanis' leadership this year, we're going to have a musical on the holiday at noon, and it's going to be a fantastic time. The speaker for the Friday night service, I should say, I'm sorry, I should have stayed there for a moment, is Reverend Dr. Otis Moss Jr. is our speaker for this year for our gala. So you just want to see Dr. Cavanis and Reverend Moss on the stage together. That alone is worth the ticket. I will tell you, and I honor them. They are our leaders. They have paved the way so Juanita Brent can be a state rep today.
Yes.
And so we really thank God for that. I mean, and so really we are living the embodiment of our forefathers, you know, and that's really, and they had you in mind.
I
will tell you, that's really a great thing. So we want to support that. Dr. Moss will be our speaker. And thank you, Dr. Cavanis, and all the great work. So we'll have all the information. You should, you can call me. Call the coalition number. Give us the coalition number.
Cleveland you need information. Clergy Coalition Hotline. It's our office number. It's 216-333-1827. That's 216-333-1827, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. You can also email us at clevelandclergycoalition@gmail.com.
That's
our email address and our website. Go check it out. It's a lot of information on there, www.clevelandclergycoalition.org.
All right, and you can get in contact with us for further information regarding the Martin Luther King Gala. Why we are not on the air, we will be taking phone calls and working
and
still.
Emails.
All right, and emails. We won't have Job Seeker Tuesday, but Shante and I and our team will be monitoring the telephone, so you can call us if you have any questions about the gala or anything else for that matter. But we want you to be supportive. And on that Monday, we're having a musical at noon, again at Greater Abyssinia Baptist Church.
Monday the
20th. Thank you. That's the actual holiday. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we've done this because we should do something on the actual day to honor Dr. King. That's not just a time to sleep in. we ought to do something kingly.
You so must we're going to come up.
No, I didn't, but I'm a heap of smart. All right. So now we thank God we have our state rep here. And I'm going to go with me with this, state representative. I'll call you Dr. State Representative. She has
too.
Smart to have a holiday wish list. I want to. I'm gonna ask Dr. Jarvis and Shantae Lewis Gibson to give us what you want for Christmas. What one item is you want for Christmas?
Are you gonna fulfill that?
Hold on, Reverend.
He keeps calling me. I know my place.
Our state representative holiday wish list is: she wants minimum wage to be a livable wage,
yes.
So that's raising the minimum wage.
Can I read off my own wish list?
You sure can.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
That's the boss of the mic right there.
That's right. Go right ahead.
So this is State Representative Brent. You know, when you wish things for the holiday season, it got to be something that you really want to wish. I don't want a lot of money. I don't want a lot of fame. But I want something that's going to benefit all of us here
yes.
in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So I want the minimum wage to be a livable wage.
Yes.
People should be able to have one job and be able to live.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We need affordable health care. People should not have to go bankrupt to be able to pay their medical bills. That's number
right.
one reason why people go bankrupt, because of medical bills. We need equitable funding for our schools. Shout
yes.
out to House Bill 305, which is the Fair Funding School Plan, the Cupp-Patterson Plan. We need to eliminate infant mortality. Ohio mm-hmm. is the fifth worst in the nation when it comes to infant mortality.
Oh.
African Americans are the leading cases of infant mortality. My house district is one of the worst in the state.
Yes.
So that's also on my list. Also, too, no bans on reproductive freedom. Women should have their body, their choice.
Mm-hmm.
We need paid family and medical leave. People should not have to fear that if something happens with their family members, or if they have a child, or if they adopt a child, that they should be able to get time off from work. And last but not least, especially in the city of Cleveland, we need more investment into public transit. If you want us to get to work, we need ways to get to work, no matter if it's train, bus, however. We need more money to go into public transit. And Ohio is the worst in the nation when it comes to the amount of money we put towards public transit. So that's my holiday wish list.
All right. All right. That's a great wish list.
I was
just going to announce them and then let you go through them, but you did a great job. Fantastic. Good job.
Just real quick, because I want to give a shout out to the Ohio House Democratic Caucus. We've had a wonderful year of the Ohio Promise. I really want to shout out my minority leader, Amelia mm-hmm. Sykes. I don't know if she can hear me or not, but she has done a great job of leading our mighty 37 state representative with the Ohio Promise that you can live the American dream right here at home.
Mm-hmm.
If you work hard, you can get ahead. Family comes first. You can live,
right,
work, and retire with safety and security, and we work for you. That's
mm-hmm.
what we do, and that's how we're going to keep Ohio's promise.
All right. Caller, I would like to take your call, but we got a couple of minutes, so you got to make it quick. Go.
I would like to know if you feel that, although you want a livable wage for workers, that you have to take in consideration that some employers, in order to pay a higher wage, means they have to let some people go. Had you taken that in consideration?
So when you talk
about... That's a great question. We got to let you go. You can come on the next one. Go with the answer.
So when it comes to having a livable wage, a minimum wage being a livable wage, Walmart pays people a minimum wage. They're not paying people a livable wage. And they make billions off of our people. They can afford to pay people a livable wage. We are not talking about people who are hiring five or six people. We are talking about people who hire hundreds of people. So don't try to compare a Walmart to the convenience store at the end of your street. That's not even the same comparison. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, that's a good answer. And that's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the people, because I'm pro-business too.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can be both. You can be pro-business as well as be for the worker as well. And we have to be, everything has to be done in moderation. That's what I'm really learning the older I get.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate it. That's a great question, Carl. Appreciate that. All right, we're coming up to the end of our, where we have to take in interruptions, our last 30 minutes of hot sauce. We're still taking callers. But let's go to you, Shantae Lewis Gibson. What do you want for Christmas? You have to think about it?
Yeah, I do have to think about it.
All right, well, you keep thinking. Dr. Jarvis, you got it. What do you want for Christmas?
Kay's Jewelry.
Boy, y'all. I see they didn't take your lead on that. They didn't. You all were not paying attention. All right, so let me answer. You know what I want for Christmas? I want folks to go back to church. Get back in church. You don't have to come to Sure House, but you should come to Sure House. But you don't have to come to Sure House. William Temple is a fantastic church.
6812 Woodland Avenue.
That's it. And there's great churches. We need to re put back spirituality in our community. When we are spiritual, we are at our best. So my prayer is that we go back to church, get back in church. Yes, so that's my prayer. That is my prayer, and we need to do that. Church is very important, and I go there every Sunday. I would go to church even if I wasn't the pastor. Yeah. All right, God bless you. You're coming back on the other side of this break for our hot sauce, 30 minutes uninterrupted. This is your show. Whatever you want to talk about, if you want to tell us something about what you wish for Christmas, I followed your lead there. State representative doing a fantastic job. We got these last 30 minutes of hot sauce with our state representative, Juanita Bryant. There she is right there. And Shante Lewis Gibson, get your day praise on. And there is Dr. Jarvis. We are at war. We are playing offense, not defense. We'll hear from us on the other side of this break. Give us a call, 216-578-1490.
Proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. News Talk 1490 WERE, Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3, Cleveland.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
News Talk 1490 WERE, Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3, Cleveland. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
All right, we're back for our hot sauce, 30 minutes of hot sauce, no interruptions. We're back with our state representative. We were talking offline, and I'm just telling everyone hello on our Facebook listeners. There has been a lot of violence in our community here lately, State Rep, and I think it wasn't last week, but the weekend before last, there were like 7 murders in less than 72 hours. And a few weeks ago, Shante, you remember we had the prosecutor.
Yeah.
Our county prosecutor was on, O'Malley, and he said he told us that one of the bigger problems that we have is 87% of murders are African American people, and they're generally committed, and all of them is black on black crime. Mm-hmm. 24 young men, African American men, 24 to 14 years old. So that's we're losing that battle, and that's why we're here every day. Just kind of give us your take on all the violence. That's why my prayer is for us to get back to church and become spiritual again.
So I have two comments about that. The rate of black-on-black crime is the same rate of white-on-white crime. Let's just put that out there, mm-hmm. because sometimes we put so much emphasis on it. You make it think like, well, it's only black folks that's hurting people. There's only black people that's doing something to their own people. It's black-on-black crime and white-on-white crime, and it's the same percentage. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Two, okay. As long as you have people who are not able to find a job, they're not properly trained, our public school education is not preparing our people to be successful. So as long as people are leaving high school or not even graduating high school, they're not even getting GEDs. They're not even able to get to work. There are companies who are moving out to our suburban neighborhoods, but because we have a lack of funding for public transit, people don't have any other resources but to get out there. Shout out to the pastors who are putting together the vans to get people to work every day.
That's
but
us.
But what if you don't? Yeah, that's I'm shouting you out.
No.
So I see what you guys are doing. So we have to talk about those different factors, those barriers that are happening to those communities of color, that why people feel so desperate to go shoot somebody for $300. You know how desperate you got to be? Mm-hmm. We're not putting enough money towards our behavioral health services. A lot of people are using the word mental health, but they said political correct word is behavioral health services because people have dealt with trauma. Mm-hmm. We have so many kids who are dealing with their own version of PTSD. That's not just something that happens to our military professionals. That's also things that's happening to our children every day when they're dealing with, you know, family members who are dealing with drug addiction and they're homeless. I used to go to the library, the Lee Harvard Library. Shout out to them because they just do God's work. Really, they do. And it was a kid that used to come in there every day that was homeless. I wish I was in a better position to like took him in at that time. But after the library would close, I used to wonder, like, where would he go? Mm-hmm. He would just roam around. How do you think that kid is going to function when they don't know where they're going to sleep? Mm-hmm. They don't know where they're going to eat. How are they going to function? You're sending them home with homework? Mm-hmm. That's the least of that child's concern. They're just trying to
find Let me just challenge you here just so on a moment, because I love what you're saying. And now this is a prosecutor in me. I always tell people, you know, I was a prosecutor. And I didn't plan on being one, but it actually fit me pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I wore that shoe very well. But what I'm not, we're not, because, and it is true that white people kill white people.
Yes.
Black people kill black people. That is just, now that is a fact.
Yes.
Okay, well, that has always been the case, because you usually are murdered by somebody that you know.
Yes.
That is just a plain fact. But I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the murder rate in Cuyahoga County. Out of all the folks, out of all the murders, let's say there's 100 murders, 80 of those murders are black people.
Yes.
And that's too high.
It is too
high. That's what I'm saying. We got to deal with that. And we need to face that monster head on. And one of the things that I don't understand, and this is the old man in me, because, you know, we've always had poverty. This isn't our first time being broke. We come from slaveries, but we have not had this issue of violence. It's like the devil has gotten in here, and we have a generation. I know you got, this is amazing. We have a generation of young people who has never been to church at all.
That's true.
Can you believe that? Can you and I believe that?
I believe it, because now when people look to come get our votes, especially within our white candidates, they can't just go to our black churches and get our votes, because you're not going to see the young people there.
Right.
So you might see the older black people, but you're not going to see those younger black people there. They're not being raised in it. So when you talk about people paying 50% of their income just for their rents,
right.
You know, there's a lack of millennials who are buying homes because of a large amount of student debt.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many systemic racism barriers that are happening within our system that we have to deal with. So it's not saying that it's okay that people are committing crimes, but it's like the system is forcing them to do nothing else.
Well,
privilege is real.
What do you say to that?
Something in like the vaccines or something that they've been given this era of children over the last 20-25 years, because this is where it's gotten the most violent as it relates to the black on black. The prosecutor was here and he laid that out very, very strategically and gave us a lot of knowledge.
But what is he doing to help it?
One of the things he is doing, and I understand that question, one of the things he's doing is he's saying, hey, what are we going to do about this? Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that part.
You gotta
raise that up. Since he's been here, I've been raising this. And even to when Chantel was here, I brought the same thing up. We've got to figure something out, because what we're doing right now ain't working. Mm-hmm. And so we got to have everybody. One of the problems that we have, I think, is we don't have there's a lot of good stuff that's happening in our communities, but we don't know each other well enough. Mm-hmm. We got to learn how to come together and build bridges, even among us. And That's what I love about Ward 1. I mean, I can't say that enough. I was at Ward 1 holiday park, and that was a place where you can see people are really – we need to spread that kind of community, unity, love across
that's
Cleveland.
That's wraparound services.
Yes, we need that.
I'm a product of kinship care. My aunt took me in when I was 4 years old. She was running for state rep the first time herself, and it took a village to raise me. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just my aunt. It was me going up to the community center where Ms. Goldstein, who's still the executive director after 30-something years, bless her, who used to let me come up there as a child for their after-school program and for their summer camp program and also for my first job. It was a wraparound of multiple people being part of my village. Right. A lot of our kids don't even have a village.
Right.
And we're
That's
missing those different pieces because they're not connected with the church. They're not connected with the community center.
Right.
And then some communities do not even have a community center.
Yes.
So those things that people say like, well, 20 years ago, we didn't have that problem. Well, 20 years ago, you were going to church. You had a grandma that was dragging you. You had a community center. You had a lot of other support systems.
Right.
You knew for sure that you had some type of meal. So we have to take care of the whole child. So we have to start asking for more money for wraparound services. Because the number one reason why kids don't come to school is because they don't have clean clothes. Mm-hmm. That is a huge barrier.
Yep, I said that's in a meeting for my boss
last week. That's true. That's very true.
What was
John Adams. John Adams.
Oh, my. That I didn't even know. They are orchestrating a committee that makes phone calls and house calls. So they're knocking on doors as well. For children,
speak directly in the mic.
For children to get to school,
right?
A lot of these children they're just not showing up.
That's right.
When you said that hit home, because one of the students that they spoke about was a student who was not coming to school because they did not have running water. The church, the meeting that I attended. I don't even know the name of the church.
Bethany.
It's on Martin Luther King Boulevard. Mm-hmm. They operated to get this water back on for this family. And guess what? The student is showing up to school. The assistant principal sat in the meeting and spoke about how just for 4 months, there was no running water in the home. Just imagine that's a piece of that post PSCG,
right.
Mm-hmm. Where people just go through traumatic things at home. Imagine just not having water. If you don't have water, you can't cook. You can't eat. You can't clean up. You can't do a lot of things without water.
Struggle is very real.
Depths
and people don't understand sometimes, you know, how bad things are. I think we got another caller here on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I wanted to go back to that question if it's cool.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I want to get clarity on where you're coming from because you.
Wait a minute, hold on, call. But so restate the question because you're coming back, so everybody knows what that question is again. Go ahead.
To Juanita Brent, who has a wish
Representative
list.
Representative Brent, but thank
you. Brent.
Yes.
Brent, who has a wish list of a livable wage, minimum wage being raised.
Right.
And my question, I'm gonna elaborate on the question, is this. If you consider that Walmart is the largest employer in the country, so they're on the extreme, that was your example, and a convenience store that may only employ 4 or 5 people, they go in and out of business all the time because of the difficulty to maintain business, and then consider the more problematic businesses, a grocery store like Dave's, or somebody who owns a McDonald's or a Burger King franchise where money's coming in and out at a fluctuating rate, you know, to what degree are you taking in consideration their dilemma of raising the wage but then having to lay off employees because they can only pay so many employees that wage?
But that's
all right, hold on. Let her answer the question.
Thank you so much for asking that question because a lot of people, that is their biggest concern is like, are people going to lose their jobs? The job market, for one, is going to be changing. So even if you see what's happening now, most cashiers will not exist within the next 10 years, probably less than that. So those were jobs that would be lost just automatically because of technology.
Automation.
When you go to McDonald's, they have technology
there.
So that is the wave of people just losing their jobs is going to happen regardless. So people are going to have to reevaluate the necessary job training skills they need to have. And most of the time when we talk about the minimum wage being a livable wage, we're looking at companies that have 50 people or more. So most of the places that you're talking about do not have 50 people.
Actually,
so
they do.
So you talk about a Burger King.
McDonald's
most of the time they
and
don't.
Dave's grocery stores employ 50 people or more.
Okay, so we can definitely address that. I'm not going to nitpick over it with you, but most McDonald's owners that I sat down with do not have 50 people at one store. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole thing. We have
to. Uh-oh. Was that me?
I don't know. So we just.
Okay, Facebook, oh, whoa, wait a minute.
I think something happened.
Wait a minute.
With
something happened to my Facebook. Keep on talking. Oh, boy. I'm sorry, y'all.
Oh, go.
So, in a sense of sorry about that, everyone.
Well, first, hit the in the middle. So
just when it comes talk about people being able to have a minimum wage to be a livable wage, we just can't keep doing the same thing. So we need to, one, when we talk about changing our wages, we need to start talking about adding on more job training. So we need to start changing our job training. I'm so glad that with this discussion that happened with Glenville and Collinwood, there was also conversations about vocational job training, because we have to get people into the trades. And
I don't want to misuse the broadcast time. So just an exit in Cleveland, which is part of Cuyahoga County.
Yes.
What do you consider the minimal amount of a livable wage, and how many hours do you think is fair for that to be qualified if somebody be able to live reasonably well in Cuyahoga County?
So
the
livable
wage, how many hours?
So can I ask you a question? Can we go back to ask you a question? So are you against a livable wage?
No, don't. He's made a good point.
It's relative.
Let him ask. Go ahead. Answer that question. You answer him. About what is your minimum? Is there a minimum, or you're talking about a livable wage? You're talking about 15, 18? That's what he's asking.
We need to definitely look at doing a transition, because it couldn't just jump up from 8 to 15 overnight. So it definitely needs to be a transition plan. So, but that's something we need to have a conversation about with the business community. We haven't had enough of those conversations, but we know that people who are working at jobs where they're making a minimum wage, even if it's a STNA or, you know, the people who take care of our loved ones or of us when we are in our most need, or people who work at daycares who are making minimum wage. So it's not just fast food people, but it needs to be a plan. Right now, we don't have a plan to even transition people to a so-called 15 or a so-called $12.50. We need to have a plan.
What you would consider a minimum for a livable wage?
I just said we need to have a plan. So whatever that plan is.
All right.
A one-bedroom apartment here or two-bedroom apartment on average is about $700. If you're working a minimum wage job, you're not going to be able to pay that unless you're paying more than 50% of your income.
All right, let me jump in here, because I want to take back our broadcast and focus on this. But I think it's important that when we're talking about raising the minimum wage, you know, it's really hard for people like us in the community to wrap our minds around why we wouldn't do that. Because when you hear these corporate people mm-hmm. getting these bonuses over millions and millions mm-hmm. of dollars, so we know their money is there. Mm-hmm. The question isn't a matter of that the money isn't there. The money is there, and the money is there to ever to be able to pay people. So instead of paying the line workers, the executive people are taking all these bonuses, and that mm-hmm. is really the major thing, the mm-hmm. shift that we're trying to make. But as we're making that shift, there may be some casualties from people losing jobs, but there's going to be a transition of the job workforce anyway. But what we're really talking about, things need to be, and we're not talking about communism. I'm still a capitalist, but we've gotten too crazy with our capital, because a good capitalist invests back into the community.
Yeah.
So I'm a good capitalist. I always tell
to
people that.
Back off of that.
Yes, go right
I
ahead.
Have a girlfriend, and she is an STNA, one of my best girlfriends, in fact, and she told me that they cut her bonuses, and that was one of the reasons why. Now I know a few STNAs. Great girl, compassionate. She even helps my parents. She's not a half stepper. Nevertheless, they cut the bonuses, and so she went to her administrator and asked them, "Well, when you guys come in, are your bonuses getting cut? Because you said we can't do bonuses anymore." Mm-hmm. And the lady said, you know, she pulled her into the office privately, and she said, "If you want the real answer, the answer is no, our bonuses aren't getting cut." But that's a whole nother sector. That's the corporate sector that makes those decisions. So that is a bit. So now they have these girls who are coming in making $11.50, $12.50, $13.50 an hour as an STNA, and they are coming in and trying to gain more money on these extra days and hours to retrieve this bonus. And now this nursing home in particular, I can't say, or I won't say, I don't even know anywho, but they cut their bonuses. So these girls are making $11 an hour, but their administrator is making $33 an hour, and her bonuses are not cut when she comes in on an extra. That's what you're addressing. That's her point. So yeah. that is what, and that's your point, sir. You just said it. These executives, and you know that the money, but that is so to dirty up. And the STNAs, just in this particular conversation, they do the most. They do
well,
a lot.
And one thing I don't, and I know we're really going off subject. I want to go back to some legislation. But one thing about the STNA jobs, I say this all the time, the best thing with that is to have your own company because they will bill you out at $33 an hour, but they're only going to pay you $12 an hour.
Wow.
And that happens. I know that for a fact. So, and that's what we're trying to say. There's got to be a better proportion of people, you know. But there are some companies.
You're saying get your own STNA. Right.
Hey, that's a better thing. But there are some companies, and there are some very large companies who have made the decision already to raise their minimum wage. There are a lot of good companies who are doing that anyway. And really, that is the best model. That's something that you shouldn't have to legislate, but we have to in this country because we have so many bad actors, right? Because most people don't speed, but we have to have set a speed limit because there are going to be those people who do.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of good companies who are
Disney
owned.
Disney is one.
Which one?
Disney is one.
Okay. I mean, First Energy is one.
Yeah. Okay.
There are a lot of good companies who do already pay.
Amazon should be number one on that.
But they're not one of them.
Because they are
Amazon is not one of them.
A lot of people's. I mean, not that they're taking it. It's business.
Amazon is not one of those companies.
But they pay above the minimum wage.
They do.
They're working towards that.
They're getting better.
Okay, yeah. So they are.
And they give a lot of benefits to their people, like good health care.
They're doing that now?
Yes, they do. So for the fulfillment center, they give PTO. They give flexible schedule.
They pay for your schooling.
Uh-huh. So you got a lot of benefits that add up to, even though you don't come in making $15 an hour, you might start in at $13. Mm-hmm. The benefits of it outweigh the $2 that you are not
losing. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Perhaps.
Is there a possible? There's two things that I have a concern with. And I was, because I'm in that type of a business, my concern is mental illness and also suicide. What's your, you know, what's your conversation? How is your lead in down in Columbus
so
regarding
those? We have to put more money towards behavioral health services. That's the political correct way to address it and not mental health services, because somebody will get me for calling it mental health. We don't put enough money as a state to put towards those services within our schools, with our first responders.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fields that need more behavioral health services. Even within our hospitals, we need behavioral health services. And that's why things are happening within our community. If you look at our homeless population, they need it.
They need it.
In particular. And there's a lot of behavioral health services that are needed within that area, too. So,
how much of the state budget goes towards that?
Oh, I can't tell you the exact number, because if I tell you, I'll be lying. But not enough, because even our advocates that come down there say this is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
We might give them a penny, but they really need it. 20 pennies, but we only gave them one and say, well, here, we gave you a penny. Mm-hmm. Go figure the rest of that out.
Make it work. Uh-huh.
So especially within our school districts where you have social workers or you need school psychiatrists and you only have one that's for three different schools.
Mm-hmm.
I just sat down with a principal.
And they travel.
So I just sat down with a principal and they said, we need a full-time school psychiatrist, but the one we need only comes in once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a whole schedule. They only can meet with like seven students within that one day, and that's it.
And then they have to, the next have to wait. That is just, I think, yes.
Wow, that's not enough. That's not enough.
So
now give us one, because we're running towards the end, give us another thing, that piece of legislation that our community should be concerned about that you're working on there in Columbus.
Well, one of the things you should be worried about is the bill that I introduced, and I came here a couple months to talk about everybody, and that's the driver suspended license amnesty bill is right now in the Senate. Thank goodness for the bipartisan support in the House. Now it's over in the Senate to be introduced. What that would do, and most of you guys have seen these amnesty clinics where if you had a suspended driver's license, it will allow you to have your suspended license fees reduced or completely eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Suspended license fees can be a huge barrier for people, especially when you talk about a suspended license fee being up to $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if people can't even afford their rent, how are they going to afford a suspended license fee?
Mm-hmm. So they're doing what we did before.
Yes.
Right?
So it's going to be permanent and not a pilot program.
Mean exactly?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. No, that's good news.
Thing. Yeah,
that's great
that
news.
People don't have to pay the real estate, or they go to a certain center to get that service or assistance?
With my bill, and it will all, you will automatically be signed up for it automatically. Now people have to go to like a Amnesty clinic to sign up for it, but with the bill you will automatically be enrolled in it. You will get something in the mail and also or something via email, however you coordinate your information with the courts to let them know, and they will send you something saying, hey, you are automatically a part of this, and they will let you know how much you have to pay. Normally in the most extreme cases of good situation, you would just have to pay for a new driver's license, which is $20. So that's normally what your fee would be after all that's said and done. We are changing lives. This was it. I'm trying to trying to help break down some barriers. So I tell people, work with me. Really work with me, because we have a lot of barriers that keep people shackled to that is not my phone. That keep people shackled to different situations in life, and suspending license fees are one of them. I just met a constituent of mine who lost her job, her children, her car, all within 1 minute because she didn't pay her suspended license fees off of some tickets she had because she didn't go to court. She couldn't go to court because she couldn't take off of her job because she didn't have PTO. So, I mean, it's just like a cycle within itself.
Yeah, you know, for regular people who are just trying to raise their family and make it in life from day to day, don't understand. If you get caught in that court system, you can get stuck in the court system. And so it is very good that you're making that permanent. I mean, that was, I think, the first time you came in, we were talking about that. It was a pilot program. So now that they are transitioning that to a permanent, that is great news. That's great news. Good job.
Keeping Ohio's promise and making sure that people can, you know, live, work, and retire right here within this the state of Ohio. We are putting people's first. That's what our House Democratic Caucus is doing, putting people's first. We are the people's house.
Well, I'll tell you, let's talk about, we got an election coming up. Well, a lot of people don't know that in the state of Ohio, if you have a felony record, you're out. You can vote.
Yes.
And we're very progressive in that. Not a lot of states. You know, that's not even true in the marijuana state of Colorado.
That's true.
And they came out with there, you can smoke weed in Colorado, but if you're a felon, you can't vote. Isn't that something?
That's crazy.
And so what do you think about the election? What can we do to get turnout, and what are we going
to
do about it?
People have to engage everyone. This is so important. The reason why 2020 is important, and people hear that cliche all the time, we are voting for a president. We are doing the census. If you are a felon, you can vote. Anybody can vote as long as you are 18 years or older. You have 30 days. You have no excuses. The Board of Election is right now renovating their first floor, so you can come and early vote. There's so much that's on it. Your minimum wage is on the ballot. Your health care is on the ballot. If your state is going to have Medicaid expansion, which has to be renewed every 2 years. So who you vote for at the state house will be determining where that's going to go. Our congressional lines is going to be determined. For every census you fill out, that's $1,800 that your community gets for services. We need you to vote. We need you to fill out the census. We need you to be involved and be engaged. You know, everyone is a part of this system. And if you pay any money, if you have a job, or if you receive any money from the government, then your voice matters. Everybody, even our children, their voices matter, even though they can't vote.
Absolutely. Sometimes we need, that's why we have to be advocates.
Yes.
For our children. And do you know of any plan to mobilize voters in our community that's happening?
I'm hearing about some different things, but not particularly clear about what people are trying to do. I'm hoping to see things kind of flesh itself out. There's been a lot of focus on the impeachment, but our people need to be focusing on voting regardless of who our president is or not.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to be swearing somebody in at the beginning of January of 2021, regardless how these impeachment hearings go.
Absolutely. Well, I will tell you, we are mobilizing people for preparing for social the polls. And that one thing that we got to remember, that the primary election in Cuyahoga County is on St. Patrick's Day. And we've got to really inform people and get ready. I tell folks, if you live in Cleveland, particularly Ohio, St. Patrick's Day is a national holiday. And we have all kind of people who participate in St. Patrick's Day. So we're really going to have to make sure we get the word out. But we'll be on top of it. Here are the issues and the people of the community. State Representative Britt, thank you. Brent, we thank you for coming in and being a part of this broadcast today. I don't know what happened to our Facebook listeners, but we'll have to send them a shout out. But do you want to say any parting words?
Thank you so much, Pastor Phillips, for inviting me for the second time to be here. And I feel like everyone's votes matters. Your voice matters. When you come to my office, you see my people who live in House District 12. You don't see a bunch of pictures of my family, you know, or pets or other things. You see pictures of my police chief. You see pictures of my mayor. You see pictures, I like to call them my bosses, the ladies out in North Randall who come to every city council meeting. You see the children that I read to at CELGC that live right there in the Lee Harvard area. You see the people who I represent. You can see yourself when you come to my office. If your state representative or your state senator is not making things accessible by mailing, using social media or emailing them to you, then this is your time to let them know they need to go. But hopefully you guys remember me in 2020.
We got your back, and that's a fact, Jack. And we'll make sure I will yell it from the rooftops that you are our person, that we are supporting you 110%. Thank you, Shante Lewis Gibson, for being here. Remember, tomorrow, Job Seeker Tuesday, the last one for the year. And this is our last broadcast for 2019. Dr. Jarvis will be back on January the 13th.
Okay,
We'll be back. Have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Cleveland, we love you. Thank you for being in this battle as we fight in this good fight. And I'm going to tell you, we're fighting, but we know that the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's, and we already have victory, but we got to fight. Without works, faith without works is dead. So we are fighting this good fight. We thank you all hands on deck as we continue to uplift and transform our community. Cleveland, we love you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And Happy Hanukkah.
And happy Kwanzaa.
That's what I meant to
That's
say.
Right. All right. God bless you. Love you, Cleveland. Have a great week.
Proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com. This